but we've got to break that rule for a few of them. I'm going to go lightly talk on 1000 Parsec. 1000 Parsec is a game project that I work on with Link, if you can find the camera there. 1000 Parsec is a framework for building space empire games like Master of Orion, Stars, BGA Planet. I've got a client which downloads all the information from the server. So one server has a Star Trek universe, one server has a Star Wars universe, and you can use the same client access for it. It's heavily customizable. We have two servers, one in Python, one in C++. We now have two clients, one in KDE and one in WS Python. WS Python runs on Mac, Windows, and Linux for the most branches. We have binaries for Mac, so if you're scared of source code, Mac binaries exist. Windows binaries exist. We're looking for a Debian packager. If you know how to package devs, please come see me so that we can actually get there as well. Our website is www.1000parsec.net, and today we've just started an AI program in contact. There's lots of cool prizes that you can come with. Come and join the project and try your hand at writing an AI for us. That's what the lightning talk is. I'm now going to hand it over to Andy, who's doing a quick update on Scum VM.
I'm a co-project lead at ScumVM, which is an interpreter for 2D adventure games. ScumVM runs pretty much any game anyone you would have played as a kid, what's pretty much now, from originally LucasArts games, which is Maniac Mansion, Duck McCracken, Phantom Max, Stab and Good Monkey Island, all that, to a whole bunch of others, which we've managed before either by reverse engineering them, or by obtaining the source code from the original developers, which is part of our major attempt at a goal. As well as actually running these engines, we support like 12 engines now. If you look at our website, which is scumvm, 2m's, .org, we support more games than you can probably imagine. Recently we've started supporting some Sierra games, the early text-based part of the one, which we've always said we'd never do. we now do. We run on pretty much any platform you can imagine, from Linux, Windows, Mac, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, CDNOS phones, anything really. And recently completed a fundraiser where we raised $950 in 12 hours, which, I was sure there was a bug in my accounting script there, but apparently we did. So that's what we do. We're always looking for developers, and even if you can't code, we're looking for documentation writers at the moment. We've got your best right there. So check us out. Join us on our IRC channel or our forums, which I've just noticed down. And play some really old games. Not even really old games.
Let me find up. Okay, is Raptor here?
Yep.
You're Raptor? You've got 5 minutes on Eva.
Alright,
guys, well, in that case, turn up to my talk on Wednesday. the one about pants, so you can see them up there. So you can find that one. Basically, one of the things if you're writing games, especially old-style 2D games you may be interested in, the back-end for Enlightenment, which is a window manager, is in fact very much in that bias by game development, which is what made me write in the first place. And it could save you an absolute ton of time. It should be incredibly easy to use an SDL and do most of the hard work for you. And do things like filter scaling, automatically abstract either OpenGL rendering software, XRender, or other different targets, XB or EMX, There's even a direct SD engine to all this there. And it's just a state engine. So you don't actually say draw, read or frame, and then draw everything from, you know, paint cells and bottom to top. You just say take objects, move where I want to, change their properties, and it does everything for you. Nothing left to do. It handles like images, as basically sprites, to do all scaling for you, text, build even through entire menus, add on my own personal media center using it. There's video objects, so just stick an MPEG as an object, you can pick some off blends, alpha blends, and then scale them, whatever you want, and it does it all for you.
Evan.
And there's a whole bunch of libraries, Atlanta.org is where you can get all the information. But it's the back end for that, and if you do any good games at all and want to save yourself time and effort, it may help you. It may not be your cup of tea, that's up to you. But it, yeah. So, that was my lightning talk in about 2 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Inside the lab through the proxy to the data center. So when I
step into the second lab and put my data center out of my pocket from the inventory. You don't have to have it with physically build it, but you can have it with you in your pocket. You just pull it out, went in, happens to your node, assign some service to check the status, and pull everything with you. And send you for everything. So the basic idea is to use Stabilizer to use the interface for regular programs, and this is the whole idea.
Is that like the Doom system administration?
it's kind of similar, but you're actually going to be able to do useful things inside Second Life, which are happening then in real life. If you're interested in a short presentation, catch me on the floor and I will try to present you.
We've got time for two more 5-minute talks. So is there anybody?
Question,
you want to do a 5-minute talk?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you for the rest of that.
Okay, well, anyway. There's a little project that me and a few friends have been working on for the past couple of years called OpenC2E. There was a series of games called Creatures. Some of you might have heard of them, some of you might not have heard of them. They're kind of old. I think the first version of the Creatures 1 had a 10-year anniversary a while ago. So anyway, what we're doing, there's three different engines, Creatures 1 engine, Creatures 2 engine, and the Creatures 3 engine, which is called the Creatures Evolution engine. What Creatures is, it's basically an artificial life toy. There's an in-game macro system, so all the objects in-game. One of the really cool things about this game is that pretty much all the kind of code for all the objects in-game, it's kind of like a 2D world with a whole bunch of like toys and like food and things, and you've got like little creatures that walk around and interact with the world. Like they press on the toys and they kind of spin around or like make sounds. It's kind of a bit. But all the creatures have kind of neural networks that in Creatures 1 at least evolve. So as the creatures would breed and they spawn separate generations and they're actually like little fuzzy kind of cute things. But anyway, so what we're doing is we're cloning the engine because it's all closed source and proprietary and it didn't run on Linux mostly or macOS. So we're cloning all three engines, which lets us run all the creatures games pretty much and a lot of spin-offs like Sea Monkeys and Creatures Adventures and a whole bunch of things that actually use the Creatures Evolution engine but slightly modified. So the project's called OpenC2E, and if you want a bit more information, join #ccdevnet on Freenode, and there are a few of the core developers hang out there most of the time. So yeah.
Time for one more 5-minute talk if anybody wants to give one.
Otherwise we'll go on to the PS3 talk.
Oh yeah, and if anybody would like to code physics stuff for us, that'd be great.
Yes, we will. We've got lots of documentation for this. We've never seen it before.
I work for a company called Terraform Solutions, who are a New Zealand on Linux. And at the moment, if you go to their website, you can pre-order a PlayStation 3 Mechanized on Linux pre-installed. This is the very first PlayStation 3 with the pre-installed ever sold in the world. Hopefully we can get the thing to boot up and make sure you get it to the editor. one of the problems of the PS3.
I think the projector's off.
Is there a reason
that
my education didn't want
it to pop? We'll start doing Moodle and they have twice as many people.
Quick thing
on the screen, we have nothing on the screen. We have a bunch of buttons and if a coincidence the projector should be on.
PlayStation 3 is a game console first and a on-demand device and a computer second. Top of this, there are some restrictions. One of them is getting these video downloads and things.
It's turning on.
The way you get Linux onto the PlayStation 3 is through something called KBoot. This is KBoot, basically a Linux kernel with BigBox, which is designed basically to boot other Linux kernels.
Okay.
So with Netflix running on PlayStation 3, I have my suspicion that the game OS is called is actually released at half.
Almost certainly.
Yeah, exactly. We have gotten out there in the service, but there's lots of suspicion out there. As far as I'm concerned, the fact that it boots up the other Linux via an ELF binary is kind of a dead giveaway.
Have you gotten the price down?
I have actually run strings through a November update.
Okay.
I've found several files, some of which flash, etc.
Flash.
They have small pages in their manual which they list the symbols, which trademarks, and all the other things they have to pay license fees to include into the PlayStation game OS. Some of them are Linux libraries. I said, oh, it's clearly what they're in. The only thing we're not for sure is Sony and game developers who are under an NDA, so we never might be sure.
It's not that possible to be involved on a BSD under a BSD license.
Yes, I have yet to hear of anybody actually getting BSD running on this.
Sony has got more resources.
Sony has different moves with Jay running on things, but as far as I know, no one gets BSD running on it. I'm sure KB can do BSD. So I'm sure it's possible. I mentioned restrictions earlier. There's something called the hypervisor, which basically sits between Linux and some of the hardware. One of the pieces of the hardware that sits between is the Blu-ray drive. I haven't actually found that it actually restricts anything such. So I'm not too sure what that's what it's about. Next piece of hardware sits behind is the hard drive itself. Now, when you install these on here, the first thing you do is to repartition the upgradable hard drive. I say upgradable because in the manual, they tell you how to upgrade the hard drive. It's designed to actually be pull that hard drive, it's just a laptop start the hard drive, and put in a big one. When you partition this hard drive from GameOS, you get two choices. 10 gigabyte and the rest of the hard drive, or the rest of the hard drive and 10 gigabyte. One of those two, GameOS is on, the other one, Linux goes on. The hypervisor stops you from being able to read the GameOS partition from Linux, which is fair enough. The third thing that the hypervisor stops you from going to take a look at is the GPU.
Does that mean you can't just put any hard drive in it, then you have to use a Sony hard drive?
No, any hard drive. As long as it's a laptop, start the drive, it'll go in there.
So where is the actual OS stored then?
On the OS itself is stored on flash. Stored with save games. And because it's also a media center, it saves your movies and pictures and music all on the hard drive.
So nothing really important is involved in the hard drive?
No. Before you hit the old hard drive, put a new one, you go to GameOS, so you format it, and then you store, your videos, your games, your playing, on a big hard drive. Look familiar after? Well, that part of it is this is the light in the B17. Do you want to
go up there? No one knows me.
Apparently it's on his right hand there. It's called the CEO of Terrasol Solutions. So after it's seen that email, he said nothing. Going on Linux 5.0 is the PlayStation 3 featuring the E17. That's the very first thing you saw on the website until a few weeks ago. Still features E17, it's just not the very first thing you see on the website anymore. What you guys really want to see is the game, don't you?
Where's the model?
I was talking about GPU before being hiding behind the hypervisor. We get a frame buffer in main RAM. Main RAM is 256 megabyte
But 3.2 gigahertz per decade RAM. It's fast. It's not much of it. Same data takes up a portion. The hypervisor data takes up a portion. We end up with about 190 megabytes, I believe. They're not going to do much heavy duty multitasking on this thing. So you run Firefox. I'll see you later. So yeah, once you've filled up the framework and the main RAM, you basically ask the hypervisor to DMA this to the real framework on the GPU. This is the only GPU access we have at the moment. It's quite a bit of change. But I don't think it will before we opened up. It has four USB slots on it. Apparently had a slightly better than ordinary keyboard USB. The keyboard plug in there. The USB. Okay. Also control the card reader. Three card slots in there with the reader type. Bluetooth attached to the USB. There is wireless on the thing. No one actually knows exactly where it is. We can't really talk to it yet. But as I had Steve Conflation saying that we will be able to talk to it eventually. Now, when these things hit Australia in about March, I reckon, this top of the line model with the wireless and the 50 gigawatt hard drive will be about $1,000. And for $1,000, you get a game console, you get a Linux computer, you get a Blu-ray drive. Blu-ray drive is just by themselves, top choice that. I heard recently that apparently Sony makes people sign in their contract that they're not allowed to print porn. And by reason of this means the Blu-ray driver is just not going to work. Porn is the driver, so technology.
If you get them directly from Japan, the way that's true. So, for some reason, here you're getting very hard bad at the bottom.
I'm just translating the US price in Australian dollars on $8,000. We don't know what the price is actually going to be. We'll probably drop prices a little while by the time we get them anyway. We just don't know.
That was the price of the PS2 model, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
No. But the other thing you get, which you can access from Linux, is the Cell broadband engine. This is an awesome preview. It, however, starts off with a fairly lackluster PowerPC chip. The PowerPC chip is really just a run-native boring box operating system that is actually going to put the other parts in. And it's specifies the other part. The other part, which runs up to 6 penguins, is what's called the CPU. These are really, really fast floating point co-processors. There are 8 of them. One of them is actually turned off to increase production yield by somebody. The other one, I'm the hypervisor. These SPUs have this way of basically securely isolating themselves from the rest of the world, except for some portion of the RAM, their own internal RAM, which they decide to share with the rest of the world. This is why the hypervisor is running on it, which is why I think it's going to be difficult for the people who should produce hacks of these things to actually produce hacks of these things. But all up, and theory, we should be able to get 2 teraflops out of that thing. We can't access GPU, but I think there's some decent CD performance just using these SDUs. It's just dust for playing around, some DMA, playing up at some DMA. That's what my novel looks like when it's not being framed as a way to get a solution. Applications, system tools, with PS3 game OS. And while other people are doing their thoughts, doing most of the day, I'm finally trying to get access to hardware for the Saturday. Been very technical problems, most of them not to do with PlayStation 2. And I spent most of the day just downloading game demos. But until then, I only had one game demo. There's only half a couple of minutes. If you have music, you can hear the music now. Whoa!
This is the one you downloaded to your changing position.
Yes.
Do you ask that question? Good work.
Exactly. Yes, he is the user of physics.
Okay, here's a real question. How many CPU cores does Linux actually see?
Like, you look at what PC, same
with those
sequence. Two dogs,
single.
Okay.
Yeah. So, wait, isn't the CPU actually just a single power PC in the main control?
Plus the PC.
Oh.
That's why there's two dogs.
That's why.
It's single.
Yes.
It actually doesn't work so badly. I've finished its performance on Duvet 2 threads. On the other hand, when I can try to file a kernel with Dash J2, it's basically, you know, the two hot servers are like this. Never, you know, never really hits more than 100 most of the time, but it does quite a lot of stuff, like Microsoft 17, for instance, which I'm using back.
But does it actually have a certain group of things?
Yes. Well, this is mine, and I have to get the Excel program done. Terasoft Solutions wants me to start working on multimedia software. So I'll be getting things like video players, and sound players, and editing software, and things like that, running well.
What are they intended to be? I mean, what are they people could actually use it for?
They want you to play one. I mean, what else do they need to do? It's pretty insane.
Basically, I'm going to do this on my own workstation. Yeah. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to do a bit of the hell with it. I don't know anything else I'm going to do with it.
Yeah, I mean,
have you had to play with the Linux SPU interface that can sort of
put on? I've not had a chance to do any code yet on.
That's where it's going to get really interesting. Like, yeah. Just running Linux on the thing. Cool, but you don't get any of the gigapops out until you start getting that SPU really pumping.
Yeah, exactly. You've got an issue, I think, with me.
If you're running a video player for the shuttle or whatever, what's Terasoft's long-term plan for this? Is there developing all this software and supporting
What they want to do is to actually sell the old Linux to PlayStation 3 in real retail stores. Next door to the PlayStation 3, Walmart and Kmart and things like that.
Well, the proof process would be polished, so when they turn it on, they can use their controller to pick Linux or games or
whatever. That's in Sony's hands. It's actually a little bit clunky booting from game OS to Linux. I showed you just then how easy it is to boot the other way. Yeah, there's menu options in the standard menu. But the version the other way is completely in Claimer's hands, and there's a few button presses and down and across. And up. You actually have to turn it off first. And essentially, what you're saying is, next time you boot up for Linux. So then you turn it off and then you turn it on again.
Yep. What compiler
are you using?
Is that
IBM Bobcat file? My only have actually been working on GC40. Oh. So they have put Intel stuff and PLC stuff into the kernel and then GPC. Then I think they've been putting a lot of stuff into the 2620 kernel. Not out yet. This is running 2616. I've not had a chance to actually sit down and look through the faces yet. The PLC thing, yes.
They still have all the libraries on the hot. So you're GCC rule, PS2 is on the point. So they still have access to all that, and can you get access to that as a developer? I don't know what the install is. I mean, if I did, it wouldn't be allowed to tell you.
But you can run PS2 games on PS1 games on
Interestingly, you can actually use the PSP as a remote control, where display and control the PC or PSP. And you can play games and video games and things.
This is a wild thing from that.
Yeah, it was. And they're working on being able to do that on the other side of the table. Some people are really good ones, but one more two things. I'll just try that there something. If you feel any good, I wasn't watching.
Actually,
do that now.
So again, I was going to keep mentioning that from the internet, but remember the cell was not developed by Sony, it was developed by IBM, Sony, and Toshiba. And there are actually all of those plans for that to be used not just for the game console, but actually everything they can build. So in television, in VCRs, DVRs, you name it. So the PS3 is merely the first low-priced, accessible, you know, cell available to anybody, and from there on in, either one way or the other, that platform, and once you've got stuff for it, it'll just come out in a different box, different form factor, different font rate, but if you're optimized for it, you can make use of it. So,
Toshiba's already shipping devices that have cell in there. So the first thing on the market is Toshiba device. And they've also demonstrated the encoding of 48 HDTV streams
simultaneously.